I want you to listen very carefully to what I have to say today. You always do anyway. I don't know why I said that. It's just that there's some kind of a... I don't know whether it's I'm emotional about this year or I feel very... Let's say I feel very, very strongly about it. It's really a continuation. It's most probably part three of a share that I said 20 years ago. I gave part two about 8-9 years ago, and this is going to be part three. This is a part that I never really elaborated on and never really discussed it fully, because it's something one could even say, I was going to say troubling, but it's worse, it's frightening. That's enough. I'll make one other comment. I think the reason why I can say this here today is because all of my children are married. Shiddah. If it will be a problem for my grandchildren, plus great-grandchildren, they're on their own. Okay. You may recall when I asked the question I'm going to ask, you may recall that I asked this question a number of years. I'm really going off on a completely new aspect of this problem. Number one, Torah tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out into the land of Egypt. It came to pass in those days. Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe grew up and he went out to his brothers and he saw their suffering. And he sees an Ishmitzri, an Egyptian, who's striking and beating a Jew, Meyechov. That's one of his brothers. He's been raised in the palace, but he knows who his brothers are. Vayifen Kol V'chol, he turned here and there, and he saw that there is no man. The simple meaning of the pasuk is, there's nobody standing up for this Jew. There's no justice. There's no law. He's being beaten. Vayachet HaMitzri didn't take him a moment to make the decision. He struck the Mitzri, he killed him, and he hit him in the sand. Vayetzei Bayom HaSheni. Unbelievable. He goes out on the second day. The second day, v'hine, and behold, shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim. There are two Jews who are locked in trouble. What happened the first day, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to understand, but on the second day, two Jews are struggling with one another. V'yomer l'rosha, he said to the rosha, the one who was lifting his hand against the other, lo motake re'echo, why are you striking your friend? And Chazal said re'echo means that this second fellow was no greater tzaddik than the first one. They're similar. V'yomer, and the response comes to me, som chol ish, Sar v'shofet elein, who made you into a man who is a prince and a judge over us? And then, wow, halahorgeni anto omer, you want to kill me? Kashaharakta et hamitzri, like you killed the Egyptian. You understand, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he had turned here and there, he looked and he saw, nobody saw it happen, and he killed the Mitzri, nobody knows. Wait, what does he know? He knows that two Jews saw him kill the Mitzri. But Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe was frightened. Moshe was afraid. Vayomer, he said to himself, Achein, indeed, no dar ha-davar, it has become known. Vayishma Paro et ha-davar hazeh, Paro heard this. Vayivakesh laharot et Moshe, and he wanted to kill Moshe. Vayivrach Moshe mibnei Paro, and Moshe fled from the fort Paro, and he came to the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. We'll just deal with this part of the story now. Mm-hmm. Rashi lets us in on the story. The two Jews who are struggling with one another are Dasan and Avigdor. Sons of Reuven. Dasan and Avigdor are struggling with one another. Alright? The Medrash says, I'm going to extend the Medrash. The Medrash says, you know who Dasan and Avigdor are? Dasan and Avigdor, they were the ones that when Moshe Rabbeinu told people, don't leave over any of the man until morning, because it's going to turn bad, they left over. They were the ones who more than one time are the ones who say, at a moment of crisis, Nitnon Rosh v'noshuva mitzchaima. Let's appoint a new leader and go back to Egypt. One of the classic places at which this happens in Parshat Peshalach, the Jewish people have already gone out to freedom. They find themselves, the seventh night of Pesach, they find themselves on the seashore with the dark, ominous sea on one side, and then they hear the hoofbeats of hundreds of chariots of Egyptians coming on the other side. And here Klal Yisrael, the entire Jewish people, are caught on the beach. Never have all of Klal Yisrael been in danger as they are at that moment. And one of the most absurd and ridiculous conversations takes place. There are people who say, let's appoint somebody and go back to Egypt. Let's go back. Go back, and worse. Hamibliyim kvachim b'mitzchayim, because there are not enough graves in Egypt. The kachtonu, you took us out. Lamud b'mibar, to die in the desert. Hear what they say to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron, the great leaders of the Jewish people. You ever heard anything as absurd, as ridiculous, as ugly as that? There aren't enough graves in Egypt, so you took us. Who are the agitators? Who are the provocateurs? Who are the intimidators? Dasan and Avigdor. You got it? Dasan and Avigdor. Who are going to be the ones who are going to stand shoulder to shoulder with Korach to bring down Moshe Rabbeinu? Dasan and Avigdor. There are at least seven places in Torah where Dasan v'Avigdor appear. And wherever they appear, they cause untold harm to the Jewish people. Here, at this point, staggers the imagination. How does Paro know that Moshe killed the Mitzvi? Dasan v'Avigdor told Paro, they were Moshe. They went and they told Paro that this fellow Moshe, he's the one who killed. Can you imagine a Jew telling a Goy Soine Israel who has enslaved their whole people, go tell him what? That for once, finally, there was a Jew who stood up for his fellow Jews. They betray him. I don't understand what's happening over here. An act of absolute betrayal. But betrayal. The ugliest of the ugly. I remember when I first said the shir, I asked on Dasan v'Avigdor, I asked about Dasan v'Avigdor, what I called my mother-in-law, Aleh HaShalom's question. My mother-in-law, Aleh HaShalom, she was a woman of peace. You know, every so often, somebody would say a bit word to somebody else. Her constant refrain was, let it roll off your back, forget about it. Okay, you're going to make something of this. So I ask about Torah, Every act of ugliness of Dasan Vavrichan has to be recorded for all time in Torah. This is also Torah. And then, of course, the very last. Very last is going to be in Pasha Korach. Pasha Korach, I tell you, I can feel for Moshe Rabbeinu when it says that Vayichal Moshe Ma'od, Moshe was very angry. And Rashi says Vayitzta'el Adle Ma'od, he was full of pain. You know when he was full of pain? And Dasan David are standing by their tent and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, not enough, you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey.
Yeah.
Auschwitz is milk and honey. These fellas have the chutzpah, and I'll use it, say it again. That's the ugliest pasuk in Tanakh. Mitzrayim is Eretz Zavas Ha'odavash. That particular description that God chose to describe His holy land, they take those sacred words and they describe Mitzrayim as a land flowing with milk and honey. Moshe Rabbeinu, overcome with pain. Land flowing with milk and honey. This Torah has to record. And by the way, if there's going to be some mistake, if Dasan's name is not going to be written correctly, that's sacred Torah's puzzle. Who needs this? Who needs these stories, this description? Who needs it? Incidentally, Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashat Shemot, after he flees to Midian and he's finally going to come to the burning bush for the first time, God not once but twice tells him, I'm going to take your children out of here and I'm going to bring them to a land Zavas Cholav Udvash, flowing with milk and honey. How did they do this? How did they betray Moshe, a fellow Jew? How do you do it? But there's something more tragic about Dasan Vavrichan. It says, Moshe went down on the second day, and behold, there are two Hebrews who are locked in struggle. Locked in struggle. You know what the Medrash says? And the Medrash proves it. They were locked in mortal combat. It was a fight to the death. Who separates them and saves both their lives? Moshe. The Moshe who separates them and saves their lives, that's the one that they're going to report to Paro as being a murderer. You get that? You need to be very evil for that. You need to be very evil for that. But more than that, these are brothers. And they're locked in a struggle to the death. Two brothers are fighting to the death. What kind of brothers are these? What kind of brothers? What kind of brothers? There's no question about it. I remember quite a number of years ago, I had said, there's no doubt about it, that Dasan Vavrichan are dysfunctional people. Doesn't excuse them of anything. They're sick. They're sick. Two brothers locked in struggle to the death. Isn't it interesting that these two brothers are the ones who go ahead and, I would say jointly, hand in hand, they go and they report Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro. Did you know what the real dilemma over here is? The Medrash had described them as, wherever you go, you know what picture you get of Dasan Vavrichan throughout Torah? You get the picture of Abbott and Costello, Ike and Mike, Mutt and Jeff, Paris and Balin, the Marx Brothers. Two guys, two fellas who are buddy-buddy. Buddy-buddy! But when they appear the first time in Torah, they're locked in a struggle to the death. Who are these Dos and Babylon? Why are they important? Why must we be told about them time and time again? Why do we have to suffer their evil? The point that I made about 20 years ago was based on a big Shem Mishmuel Safed Shabbat Temple. And a morale. I'm not going to go into it. I'm just going to say only one point has to be made. The Torah, by telling us the repeated stories of Dos and Babylon, is telling us the following. You should know that throughout all of history, there are going to be such evil people in Israel. It's a fact. It will be. You are going to have Jews throughout history who will betray their fellow Jews. There are Jews that are going to side with the Inquisition. There are Jews that are going to do all sorts of evil things. Yes, it will happen. 99% of Klal Yisrael are Kedoshim Utahorim, beautiful, beautiful people. It was not art of God that he chose the Jews. But the version wants you to know that there are evil people who walk amongst you. I remember the end of the Shem Yishmuel, he says, the closer we get to redemption, the more widespread will become the phenomenon of Dos and Babylon. There are going to be Jews who will want to find favor in the nations of the world. And they are going to be Dos and Babylon. The only consolation of all the Dos and Babylon that we have in our midst is it means that we are clearly coming much, much closer to redemption. But who do they represent, these two? They're the same, but they're different. They're the same, but they're locked in struggle. They are brothers, but they want to kill each other. Here is where I begin to thank the Lord that all my children are married. I think they're married happily. Dos and Babylon represent the extreme elements in Klal Yisrael. And there are two extremes. There's the extreme right, and there's the extreme left. The extreme left, Shalom Achshav, will tell the whole world a caravan is being put up someplace in Yehudah Shomron. We'll report to the whole world everything. Let the whole world know what terrible people we are. These are the Shoyim, the Shoyim. And then there's the extreme right, the spitters of Beit Shemesh. I'll tell you how else they are represented. There were two groups in Klal Yisrael who before the establishment of the state were opposed to the establishment of the state of Israel. And they still are until today. The two groups were the American Council for Judaism, reform of all things. There was a fellow by the name of Elmo Berger who had a big dog, and he was the leader of the American Council for Judaism. And of all things, you know, every so often there are people who bring old books and leave them out in the hall. And one day there's a box of books. I see a box of books. Can I help myself? I mean, I'm drawn to it. You know what I found there? Elmo Berger's book, where he attacks the whole thought that this, he wrote it in the middle of the Second World War. Attacks Jewish nationalism as the worst thing that can happen to the world. But wait a minute. Without mentioning names, I don't have to. I'm going to be very careful. Very careful about mentioning names or using titles. On our extreme religious right, there weren't those who were opposed to the establishment of the state, and they still are opposed to it today. I remember being in the store on 13th Avenue. I went in to buy, I forgot where I was, it was not important, it was a leather store. Okay, I think I needed a briefcase. So, fellow asked me where I'm from, so I told him, the Nazani Akadisha, you know, I come from the Holy Land. This is the Holy Land, the Tzuyonim, the Chiloinim, that's the Holy Land. In the course of conversation, he finds out that I was born in Williamsburg. This is Eretz HaKodesh. Here you have it. I say that Dasam Daviram represent the two extremes by Klavishtar. And these two extremes, you know when they unite? Against the middle. Against Moshe, they united. Go put Elmo Berger and one of the extreme rightists into one room alone. An abject chiloini of the lowest order and a shimer dire amitzis. Kill each other. That's exactly what's happening over here. Moshe goes out on the second day and he sees two Jews, brothers, locked in struggle to the death. They're real blood brothers. They're both dysfunctional. You put them together in one place, they will go out after one another. But all of a sudden they are accosted by this fellow Moshe, who represents Torah, beauty, goodness, justice, Yosher, MS. They're united against him. And they go and they betray him to Paro. An act of... You have to think about it. You have to think about how horrible thing it is. You go knocking on Paro's door, and I'm going to suggest, if we get to it, that they came and went from the house of Paro. They had become most probably the Shemeshua would say, yeah, they wanted to feel close to government. They wanted to find favor in the eyes of the powers that be. I'll prove it to you right now. On the second side, bottom line, one line of how we will explain everything. Number five, there's a Targum Yonatan in Beshalach. Let me tell you what the passage is talking about. The Jews have gone they're out of Egypt. They're on their way to the Yom Suf. The Rebbeim tells them that he should turn around and move in a different direction, coming closer to Mitzrayim. Paro has sent his officers. And you know what? He said, Vayomer Paro, Paro said, Li Yisrael, Paro said to Israel, Nevuchim Heim Baretz, they're lost. They're getting confused. Rashi says, but he couldn't speak to Yisrael because all the Jews were out on the way to the Yosef. So who's he talking about? So Rashi says, Paro said, about Yisrael. He tells his officers about Yisrael, they're confused in the desert. They're getting lost. Let's go after them. Targum Yonatan blows my mind away. V'yema Paro l'datan v'avidam. Paro said to Datan v'avidam. V'nei Yisrael d'mishtayin v'mitzchayim. Those were the two Jews who remained in Egypt. They wanted to remain in the in what land? The land of Zavas, Chalhu, and Dvash. Metarfin hinun ala basis chol biyara. The people of Israel, they're getting confused on that. Do you understand? Out of all of Israel, there are two people who remain in Mitzrayim. And Paro knows about them. Paro hasn't known them. These are the guys who are, they're most probably living off Paro. They got themselves a whole bunch of NGOs, you understand? Non-governmental organizations, you know? Ir Amim, Shalom Hashav, B'Tselem, Adala. They're living off the fat of the land. These Dasan Varvihans, they have betrayed their people. They've turned in their Yiddishkeit for a buck from a guy. These are traitors. Where is the greatest harm that they cause? Now, I'm going to go straight. Last page, second page. We're going to do number 7. I'm going to concentrate on number 7. Because number 7 is the real message for today. In number 7, I have a pasuk in Kohelet. I have its translation in English. And then I have a little bit of an explanation of the pasuk. And then I have the Rashi on Kohelet. The Rashi and Kohelet is all built on the Medrash here in Parshat Shemot. Via the Rashi, we will already know the gist of the message of the Medrash. And it's a frightening one. It's a terrifying one. Because here, we're going to find out the ultimate ugliness and the danger of Dasan Varvihan. A little mistake. Go back. On the second side, I have the psukim that end the parasha. The end of the parasha, that's the story. This is the end of the parasha. Moshe and Aaron have come to Paro and they tell the Paro, let my people go. Paro gets upset. And Paro says, you know what? I'm not letting anybody go. I don't know who God is. I don't care who he is. I never heard of him. And you know what he does? He intensifies the enslavement. For years they've been receiving the raw materials. And from the raw materials they had to make bricks. Now they are told they're going to have to find the raw materials themselves and they're going to have to make the same number of bricks. We're talking about a cleansing of this now. If they've been falling under the burden for 50, 60 years, they are now collapsing under an awesome and frightening burden. So there. Go work. Straw will not be given to you. You must provide it all for yourself, but you have to make tochem levenim titenu. Vayidu shofei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael otam b'radli. The officers, the gods of Israel, saw how terrible the situation was, saying to them, lo tigru, you can't diminish the number of bricks that you make. And then pasuk chaf. Vayidgu et Moshe ve'et Aaron nitzavim l'kratam. They met up with Moshe and Aaron coming toward them as Moshe and Aaron come out from the palace of Paro. They say, Tam me'it Paro. Listen carefully. This is the end of the Seder. Vayomru aleihem, and they said to them, Yeda Hashem aleichem. Be shvot. May Hashem look upon you and judge you. Hashem divashtem et reichenu. You've made us abhorrent in the eyes of Paro and in the eyes of his servants. Latei cheret yadam lahargenu. You have given a sword in the hands of Paro and his servants to kill us. These are very sharp words to be said to Moshe and Aaron. Right? We'll let you in on the secret. Who are the ones that attacked Moshe and Aaron so viciously? Did I hear somebody say, Dosan Avidan? Correct. Rashi says it on the spot. Was it 20? Dosan Avidan. It was Dosan Avidan. Now watch what happens. Watch what happens as a result of what Dosan Avidan have just said to Moshe and Aaron. By Yoshua Moshe Hashem, Moshe turns to God and he says, Hashem, why have you harmed these people? The sharpest words Moshe Rabbeinu ever spoke against God. Why did you do this to these people? Why did you send me? From the time that I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, hey, it's got words. That's a low insult. He didn't save you, people. These are very strong, sharp words. And of course, the Medrash asks the question that has to be asked. But at the snare, in this same Sedra, God tells Moshe, I know that Paro is not going to let them go. But you know, there's going to be a process. And I'm going to bring punishment upon him and all of Egypt. Moshe knows that Paro is not going to listen. So what's he coming with? Well, what's he getting angry with? Doesn't he know what God told him? And he speaks such sharp words. And look at the punishment. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, this is the last pasuk of the Sedra. God said to Moshe, Ata tireh, now you're going to see. Asher e'esel Paro, what I will do to Paro. Ki biyav chazaka yishalchem, because with a strong hand he will send them out. Biyav chazaka, an outstretched strong hand, and with a strong hand, yigarshem yartzo, he will cast them out of his land. The Rashi on this brings the Medrash, which is it's painful. God tells him, now you're going to see. You're going to see what's going to happen here, but you are not going to see what's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael when 31 kings are going to be crushed by the forces of Israel. It is at this moment, because of this statement that Moshe Rabbeinu made, that it is decreed from God, he's not going into Eretz Yisrael. That's not only punishment for Moshe. Do you know what extreme punishment that is for the Jewish people? Our rabbis say that if Moshe would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, there would never have been another Churban. There would never have been a Golos. All is lost because of this one statement that was made by Moshe. And this one statement by Moshe was precipitated and caused by a provocation of Dosan Avidan, which is going to bring us to the substantial point to be made over here. Arthur Tira. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov never questioned me, and you questioned me. And I told you, it's going to take time. He's not simply going to say, Moshe Rabbeinu says, let my people go. Let's go, Operation Moses. We're sending all the Jews out. No, it's not going to be that way. Paro's going to have to suffer. There's going to be a process. Now we can go to the last page, number 7. And everything I'm saying here is based clearly on a medrash. As I said, Rashi brings the medrash. Ki ha'oshek yeholel kochom v'ya'abed et leiv matana. That's the pasuk. 7, 8 words. Ki ha'oshek yeholel kochom, the provocativeness of the fool, yeholel kochom, can disarm the wise man, v'ya'abed et leiv matana, and can destroy his understanding. Now I'm going to try my own translation. Ha'oshek, the intimidation, provoking and intimidating You know, there are evil people that can get at you. They just get at you, and you lose your cool. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest man who ever lived, lost his cool. He was provoked. He was intimidated. Dasan and Aviram taunted and ridiculed him. They mocked him, they derided him. They bullied him. Look what you did to us. Look what you did to us. And Moshe Rabbeinu becomes intimidated. Ki ha'oshek, because the intimidation of Dasan, David on the matter says, Yehalel Chacham takes a wise man and makes him foolish. And you know what he loses? He loses Leiv Matana. What is Leiv Matana? One pshat in the Medrash is the wisdom in the Torah that he had. The Torah Tumimah says another pshat. Torah Tumimah says Matana comes from the word Mitunim. Hevei Mitunim Badin. To be moderate. He loses his moderation. To be moderate, but you know, you have to look at everything, understand everything. You have to speak with moderation. They provoked him. They intimidated him. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest man who ever lived. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God and he says to God, you made things worse. You've done evil to this people. You haven't saved them. Why did you send me? A rejection of his entire shlichus, the wise one. You know what happens? It happens because of Dasan Aviram. All right, let's see here. Then there's one of the, there's a Kohelet in English, with an English explanation that was put out by, I think it's by Feldheim. It was Rabbi Lyman who wrote this. The cackling of the fool is frequently upsetting and may provoke the wise man into a fit of emotion. The wise man thus become disarmed. The calm necessary for logical thinking and understanding is destroyed. That's what these provocateurs could do. And they did it to Moshe. What a scary thing. If they can do it to Moshe, what can they do to us? Rashi, ki ha'oshek yeholel chacham. Ki shahaksil mikanter et ha'chacham. When the fool taunts the wise man, ma'arveiv dato, he confuses his mind. V'kam hu nichshal. And the wise man also stumbles. Dasan v'aviram kintru et Moshe loma. Dasan v'aviram are the ones who taunted and ridiculed Moshe. Yehida Hashem Alechem v'yishpat, let God look at what you've done and judge. V'irvavuhu, and they confuse him. The most awesome brain that ever existed is confused. V'irvduet libo, they caused him to lose his heart. V'gormu lo, and you know what they caused? Shehikpid k'neged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he spoke against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'oma, he had not saved your people. V'nenash v'davar, and he was punished for it. Shehishivo, because God said to him, Ato tire, now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro. V'lo tire b'milotare shloshim v'achad malachim, you're not going to see the battle against the 31 kings. One of my earliest childhood memories is sitting around the Friday night table. And every so often, I would hear my father say, "Oy, poor Moshe, poor Moshe. He wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. He could never go. Poor Moshe." That's one of my earliest childhood memories. Ki Hashem yiten chochma, oshek. The word oshek, lashon riv, to argue with kinturin and to provoke and to taunt. That's what he did. That's what they did. (Clears throat) I think that I believe, this is my theory, I believe very strongly in it. If anybody decides to watch this video on Thursday, I bet you God's around my house. The phenomenon of Bet Shemesh did not start a few weeks ago in Bet Shemesh. The phenomenon of Bet Shemesh goes back 70, 80, 100 years during the modern era, and it goes directly back to Dasam Avicham, from the second day that Moshe Rabbeinu went out into Egypt. There were those who agitated and were opposed to Zionism, for the establishment of a state, coming back to Eretz Israel, and they're opposed to it until today. And you know where I believe that shita came from? But incidentally, I see Dasam as the religious right. That, Dasam, religious right. Aviram is the secular left. You know, the guys who think they know better than everybody else, they usually are bald and they have horn-rimmed glasses. And they get the money from Holland and France and Germany and Belgium and Iran, all the players. Those guys on the Dasam side, their brothers are the ones who go to demonstrate for Ahmadinejad in Iran. What travels in the world about all the stories of Dasam Avicham? Nobody stands up against them, for heaven's name. There is the single Jew who gets up there and says, how can you talk that way about Moshe? He took us out in order to bury us. How can you sing about Eretz Mitzrayim, that it's Eretz Avos Holuva? Everybody's silent. Everybody's silent. Everybody's cowed. Everybody's intimidated. They were opposed to the establishment of the State of Israel, and they're opposed to the establishment of the State of Israel today, and they haven't recognized it. Hamas will recognize it before they will. And you know what they did? I'll tell you what they accomplished. The vast number of Chumme Yidden are good, beautiful, beautiful Jews. But they have no coherent, encompassing hashgava about what has happened in the last 60, 70 years. The most awesome 60, 70 years, not only in the history of Klal Yisrael, but in the history of any nation on the face of this earth. A Jew in Eretz Yisrael should be walking around every day saying, Hold on, Hashem, Kitoyev, Kiliyoyev, Chazay. You brought 6 million Jews back. All the promises you made in Tanakh, you're fulfilling them. The Tanakh is living and dancing in the streets over here. And for 64 years, they've been finding fault with everything in this country. They don't see anything good. You know where it came from? The Dasams, the extreme have set standards that are not Torah standards. They've adopted a hashgafa that's not a Torah hashgafa. I have spoken to hundreds of fully eaten B'nai Torah, Avrechim, Roshei Yeshiva. You know what happens when you really question them? And I've done it. There's always a quote that will come out, God forgive me, a quote from the Satmar Rebbe created in the Koma Munach, but he was a Das Yachid, he was an individual against everybody else. The Halach is not like the Satmar Rebbe. The only thing a Ben Torah knows over here is he can quote some of the statements made by the Satmar, because they don't know, they never studied the Sugi of Eretz Yisrael, they don't have a clue what it's all about. They don't understand what's happening over here. A whole world, you understand? A whole world is descending into a darkness. Just read the papers every day. How many places in the world every day are there suicide bombers and other people are getting killed? Always, it's unbelievable. The economy of great countries are simply collapsing. And one of the healthiest economies in the world is right here. One of the healthiest democracies in the world is right here, regardless of what Hillary Clinton has to say. I'll tell you, if she can get on a bus over here, I'd tell her to go to the back of the bus. You know what has happened here? The extreme religious right has intimidated the mainstream of Humayun to say a good word about Medina Yisrael. No, may not be from. They've had a profound impact on hundreds of thousands of Jews. An impact that tears us apart. There is no sound hashkafa there at all. They don't get it. If I would come into a modern day school in Toronto and I gave a rousing speech about Yom Yerushalayim, what a great simcha it is. And the principal and two teachers bring a 13 or 14 year old over to me to ask me a question. And what was his question? I mean, the kid is wet behind the ears. I don't know if he knows how to read Iver correctly. You know, they don't read Iver too well in Chutz Laaretz. Our kids over here, boy, do they read. God bless their souls. And he asks me, but you're not allowed to be in Eretz Yisrael because it's rebellion against the nations of the world. This is one of the classic positions taken by Sartre. This little punky kid that doesn't know a pasuk chumash. But that they taught him. And the principal and the two teachers are standing there so proud. They poisoned the kid's mind. I don't want to tell you how I responded.
Please tell us.
This is very serious. I want you to know, me, it has caused a tremendous amount of pain now over many years. I just saw him again, a younger man in Avreif. I told him a few weeks ago, I was so aggravated. I asked him, do you plan on living here? Oh, no! I said to him, wait a minute, it's a mitzvah. So I said, would you ever say tefillin? Oh, no, it's a mitzvah. You can say bat tzitzis, you can say bat Shabbos. It's a school. Garnish!
What's he doing here?
Doesn't even occur to them that, you know, maybe there's something about living over here. What are they all doing there? For heaven's sake, what are they doing there? You know what they're doing there? Because the Dossons of the last 70, 80 years have spread a poison as they poisoned Moshe Rabbeinu. They've poisoned that whole community. Yet the ones who live all around me, they don't get it. They should be able to dance every day through the streets of Yerushalayim, shouting at the top of their lungs, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Yehovah Chazo. They don't see it. They're blind. They have been blinded.
But they're living there.
They have been blinded. I'll tell you more. Just as another example, that same group out there, the Avidans of whom I talk about, and by the way, I don't want you to lose sight that I'm very even-handed. The Avidans, the extreme left, are traitors of the lowest order.
Absolutely.
They betray us day in and day out.
That's right.
It's a terrible suffering. the extreme left have just, what they did to Moshe, they confused the Hashgafas. That Moshe should turn to God and say to him, Fay, what he says in that unfortunate pasuk, Lama zeh shalachtani, hey thou Lama zeh, you did evil to this people. V'hatzeilu hitzalpetzim. I'll tell you another thing. And I don't know if somehow or other I met somebody out on the street this Shabbos, went to a kiddush, not important. And it was a continuation of a previous conversation. Anyway, I told him, you know what these guys did? These were the fellas who made Rav Kook's life miserable. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. Who I said to this fellow, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook was a kadosh u'tahor, holy and pure. He was the greatest of them all. They pursued him. They ridiculed him. They shamed him. They embarrassed him. They tore him down. He was a tzaddik. I don't know how he was able to, how he lasted through it all. So I say, you know what they accomplished? They accomplished that there's most probably not a single yeshiva bracha in the in that non-Zionist world that has ever opened up a sefer of Rav Kook's. They robbed that major segment of Klal Yisrael from the awesome brilliance, the wealth, the holiness, the sanctity of the prolific writings of Rav Kook. God, they lost it all. All the result of, and they lied. The lies that they made up about Rav Kook make your hair stand on end. I responded some years ago to a Rashida who quoted these lies as gospel truth. That in 1925, April of 1925, Rav Kook spoke at the opening of the Hebrew University, and they say that about the opening of the Hebrew University, Rav Kook said, Ki mitzion teitze Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. What a filthy, miserable lie. That speech that he made was one of the most courageous, one of them all. They were afraid of him. He didn't want to speak. He said, if I don't speak, I'm not coming. And there were dignitaries from all over the world to have a gathering of that sort without the chief rabbi. And he got up and he told them, if you're going to remain true to tradition and your teachers are going to teach Torah, b'kedusha v'tahara, you will have a future. If not, you're going to become a hotbed of Siras Yisrael. He was right. They lied about him. Many, many terrible lies. So, the provocateurs. We call them now the Beit Shemesh spitters. These are the guys that have caused now. Sometimes I get crazy thoughts that go through my head. Okay, I'm gonna give you a crazy one. You ever heard of Bamako, Valletta, Majuri, Nouakchott, Chisinau? You ever heard that?
No.
Those are the capital cities of countries in the world. You never heard of them. I'll go through another 100 and you never heard any of them. There are 196 countries in the world. That in Lilongwe and Bamako and Valletta and Majuri, they've heard of Beit Shemesh. The whole world knows about Beit Shemesh. The whole Mashlugin world. Biggest Kilom Hashem since the expulsion of Jews from Gush Katif. Biggest Kilom Hashem of all. I was in Toronto last week. I went to be Menachem Ohel. One morning I opened up the Toronto Star. Not one of the great lovers of Israel. And there's a big picture of Jewish children with their arms up like this.
Oh,
by the way, you know where that comes from? Directly from Dosan Bavichon. The ones who can call Mitzrayim, Eretz, Zavos, Cholov, Udvash, are the ones that are able to take those symbols and use those symbols. You have to be ugly Shabbat. And they are. So they lost us. They lost for that world. You will notice by the end of this year, and don't say it now, there's one word I didn't use during the whole year. There's one word I avoided like the plague. Because if I would use that word, they would call me a dash basher. I'm not a dash basher. I'm not that. I follow the Or Sameach. I've told you that Mesha Chachma. I will be mochel on my own covet, but I'm not mochel on Kvodo Shel Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. They don't have Kvodo Shel Eretz Yisrael. If you can say, oh no, I'm not going to live there. Or if you come here and can't say anything big, you know who's a genius? You know who the biggest genius we had was? Come on. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ure'ei betuv Yerushalayim kol yimei chayecha. See the good of Jerusalem all the days of God. You know why he said it? Because boy did he know that there are people out there who are capable of bad-mouthing Yerushalayim their whole lives. And it comes from the extremes. Yeah, so I know. I spoke, I have two children that live in, two families that live in Beit Shemesh. He said, you know, both of them said, everybody's guilty. The Dati Lumi leaders over there are also guilty. He said, no. The Dati Lumi leaders are the Moshes who were provoked. The ones who were intimidated. If Moshe can lose his cool, they can also lose their cool. So we have to live with this, you understand? It's unbelievable. Dasan Vaviram, unfortunately, are a real phenomenon. They exist. They're not something that existed in Parshat Shemot, and in Korach, and in Bishalach. No, they exist. And they exist till this very day. You know what I'm going to do? It's been a heavy shear. I'm going to end on a light note. You're sitting? You have your seatbelts on? I don't know how to. The question, you know, the conventional provokes me. He sends me those. Here it is. I was away. I didn't read papers, you know. But my wife saves the newspapers. Anyway, I see a letter to the editor of this week's Mekor Rishon. It must have been referring to something that was written the week before, but the week before I was in Toronto. I didn't see it. And then, I don't know, somehow or other, it must have been a mouth that brought the article of the week before and put it right next to my coffee. The article the week before listed is, you're going to have fun. You can walk out smarter. One of the head honcho representatives of the extreme Beit Shemesh people is interviewed. And one of the questions that he asks, it says a truly religious, I'm still not using the word, the Ches word. Alright? A classic religious person is not going to speak freely with a woman. Men are supposed to be separate. And they don't address them by their name. Their personal name, you know? Call her Sarah, Rishka, Rachel, Hannah. Mrs. Gold. them. That's how we communicate them. This is all. Don't do that. So the interviewer asks, why? What's immodest? What's immodest about that? And then he asks, why is it that on wedding invitations, when you have the names of the parents at the bottom, you don't have the name of the mother? Chaim Yaakov Goldberg V'Rayuzai V'Rayato. Not the name. No. Don't. And the interviewer is, a mother of Chassan Akala doesn't have a name? She's not important to this whole? So he says, listen to this. It's so beautiful. It sounds so good. Really sounds good. The name of the mother doesn't make a difference to anybody. The personal private name of a woman is saved for her husband, her family, and her close friends. We don't make the private name of a woman known out in the world. And he says, even in our newspapers, if it's a woman who's written an article, you'll only have her initials.
You will not have
the name. Oh, that's a good question. She asks, what about obituaries? Very good question. All right, we're lightening up the end of this year. Watch this. So then he says, the interviewer says, I would like to understand, what's not immodest about mentioning a name that was given to a woman by her parents? Here comes the one line blessed answer. Kedei shelo yalu machshavot b'leiv ha'adam. No thought should come to out of it. That's not the punchline. This past Friday, there was a letter to the editor. And the letter to the editor says that there's an album that was put out by the Israel Museum that has all sorts of documents from yesteryear. The great Rav and leader of the Eda HaCharedis was Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, the Tzadik of Kodesh L'Bracha. He was the great Rav. It was he and Rav Kook together, these two people together, made the great journey to the Moshavot across Eretz Yisrael. It was a grueling trip for them. And these two venerated rabbis came in to secular Moshav after secular Moshav. They brought the Yiddish. If there would have been a continuation of that. So the fellow in the says the following. You understand? There was a wedding between two great Yerushalmi mishpachas. The Sonnenfeld family was meshadach zich with the Auerbach family. Get any better than that? And this is the text of the information. Horei HaChoson, the parents of the Choson, Yosef Chaim the Sora Sonnenfeld, Yosef Chaim the Sora Sonnenfeld. And then the other parents, Menachem Nosson Vitzino Feuerbach. And the story, it's all made up. These levels of tzniut, they made it all up. And then they're brilliant enough to come up with a woman's personal name belongs to a family. Don't let that be known in the Rishut HaRabim. And here is the great Goyim, the Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, and the Auerbach Mishpacha. Sara and Tziro. I'll give you one other example. When we married off our first daughter here, first child, in Nof Yerushalayim. Nof Yerushalayim didn't look
like it.
Then what it looks like today. It was, it was. I remember I became a great friend of the caterer, Shachna Heckelman, Allah Shalom, great guy. I was the first nutty American who came 2-3 hours before the Chasana, and I walked through the hall picking up glasses. Delight.
Shakna, you gotta clean that.
I went through that place, and boy, he was following me, and he had guys cleaning and washing. Anyway, after the chuppah, a good friend was Dr. Mo Weinberg. Oh, Shalom. His wife used to learn Hiffy years.
Yeah.
He comes over to me after the chuppah and he says, Shalom, you're courageous. I looked at him. What am I so courageous about? You and your wife took your daughter to the chuppah. Took the daughter to the chuppah. What are you talking about? Here's the two husbands and the two wives. The two mothers and the two fathers. A few years later, another daughter gets married at Nof. There were four weddings in a row at Nof. And she gets married to a young man who is a very close Talmud of the Shlein Zalman Orbach there, Tzadik L'Vracha. I miss him terribly. It seems that before the Chasana, he called in the Chasana and he told them, so listen, Chosen, your in-laws are from America. The parents are going to take their daughter to the chuppah, and it's okay. One final vignette to it all. Just one final one. I was at a wedding a year ago, 2 years ago. I don't know. I see the two fathers with the candles, and there's a Rosh Shiva on the side, and he's sort of like jogging them to the chuppah. I think, well, I don't know what's going on over here. Then I find out the story. The chassan was from someplace in the Midwest. His parents came to the chassan. They wanted to walk their son down to the chuppah. This American, extremely orthodox Rosh Hashanah said, no, you can't do that. No, you can't. What are you talking about? A man and a woman walking across to the chuppah, can't be. And he wasn't going to allow it. So while the mother wasn't looking, he got the two fathers, Operation Chuppah. And he said, no, Yosef Mendelevich's book about his escape from Russia was called The Plan to Get Out of Russia, then was called Operation Chatuna. But I saw the real Operation Chatuna. The two fathers are jogging with the chassan, and the Rashid is there, go, and he thinks this is the firmest thing he's ever done in the world. He starts raving mad. He destroyed a chassan of her. A mother of the chassan was crying like a baby. This is funky. This is serious. What happened to our values? You know what happened to our values? There's an extreme out there. They're the guys you have to beware of. Be they on the right, or be they... No, wait, I got it wrong. Be they on the right, be they on the left. They are poison for Klal Yisrael. They were poison for Klal Yisrael from the second day that Moshe went out to Mitzrayim, and he came face to face with an ugly phenomenon called Dasan Davion.